We now have the privilege of welcoming Simon Baloyi. He joined Sasol in 2002 as a bursar. In other words, he had a bursary from Sasol to go to university. 22 years later, he's running the company. And in his first full year as CEO, he turned a loss of nearly 70 Rand a share into double-digit profit per share. And you've seen the Sasol share price. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's been the best performer of any big company on the JSE. Along the way, he's had to navigate 30% US tariffs that threaten tens of millions of dollars in chemical exports. And he's also had to keep Sasol as the challenges that come from it from being one of the largest industrial employers in South Africa. Keep it competitive through all of this. He was with us at BNC7. Please welcome back the President and CEO of Sasol, Simon Baloyi.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, a multi-award winning, truly independent boutique wealth manager. Invest better with Brenthurst.
In the language of the locals, Sanbonani.
Sawubona.
Goeiemôre. Oh, what's happening? You guys came to Zululand, lost your language. Goeiemôre.
Goeiemôre.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning to all of you. Once again, let's start with firstly acknowledging the women in South Africa. It's August, which means the whole month is Women's Month. So happy Women's Day to all the ladies in the room. Then entering my wife and my daughter as well. So happy Women's Day to them, wherever they are back at home. I thank you for joining us today. So Alec warned me, he says, Simon, no presentation, speak from the heart. So that usually gets dangerous because you might get lost in your own speech. So I've got some slides. Let's see. Yeah, we've got some slides that's going to help us go through the presentation in the next 20 minutes or so. So we've got an hour, hopefully 20 minutes for the speech, for the interview, and also allowing the audience to engage. So if I speak longer, less question. If I speak less, more questions. Let's see how it goes. So thank you once again for your continued interest in the Sasol story and for giving me the time and the opportunity to speak about a company and the people that I love the most. Let's start with the origins of this great company, which in itself is a national key point. So during the break, you can talk to Rob and the Hessoff and the Minnell families. They have got something to do with the origins of the company as they got their first patent. However, I mean, the government in 1950 bought that patent over and started this company in Sasolburg. I mean, some of you who's from Sasolburg, I've seen some guys who are here. I've seen Jalifi and his friends. Thank you, Rob, for inviting young people to your conference as well. So I've seen them from this great place. I mean, I think it's one of the places named after a company, one of the few in the country. Because Sasolburg was actually named after Sasol. And hopefully most of you remember the name. It's actually said Afrikaanse Steen, Kool and Olie and Haas Koöperasie. So that's what the name actually stands for. I mean, we've kept that name very proud of Sasol and the name. And you can see in the pictures, I mean, early construction days here. I mean, the safety standards here, I mean, they've improved since then. You can see the guys in shorts. And something iconic, I mean, here on the right, the future traps technology. It shows the reactors. This piece of equipment actually made it to the 50 bucks note. If you go there, you'll see that technology on the 50 buck notes, because it was, I think, a fantastic moment for the country. Because, like we said, I mean, that's an analogy, like trying to get water out of a rock or what Moses did in the Bible. We, as Sasol and the people of Sasol, were trying to get oil out of coal. And we have this fantastic technology that this company perfected over the years for 75 years. And you also see in 5 years later, I mean, 1955, you see the first product coming out of that facility in Sasolburg. And this was later repeated in Secunda. And Secunda is also named after Sasol because Secunda was the second Sasol plant. And Secunda actually means second for Latin. So another town was actually named and founded after Sasol as well. So and that was it's a monumental task. There was more than 100 nationalities from all over the world that came together. So when Davi was speaking about the humans, I mean, those of you that have a if you're going to have a chance, you must try and watch. There's a documentary called The Story of Us. It talks about 200,000 years of human history and how this early group of Africans, defied the odds and went through everything and outcompeted much stronger species, even the Neanderthals, that are much stronger and they could adapt to the cold. We, the Homo sapiens, we left Africa and dominated the whole world as we do today. So it's actually an incredible story to watch what collaboration can do for all of us. And we have to take that into account. So almost grateful to always honor our ancestors in terms of how they've brought us where we are today. So from Sasolburg, we grew. This company has grown from these humble beginnings to massive facilities in South Africa. We've got guest facilities in Mozambique. We've got a fantastic asset that we have to go through some challenges, but we've got a fantastic asset in the United States. We've got facilities in Europe, mainly in Germany. We've got plants in Italy, in Slovakia. We've got plants in China. And then we do serve customers in more than 100 countries. That's the reach, of this fantastic company. And however, we've had some challenges. I mean, it's not always all good going. We face, serious challenges. I mean, COVID-19, you can imagine in Secunda, usually in September, which we're going to do now, we actually take a portion of a facility and we fix it. It's a mammoth task. I mean, under normal condition into the Secunda facility, we do have, 16 to 20,000 people going there every day, going to work in just Secunda, not even counting the underground people. Underground, all our mines, we've got the largest mining infrastructure underground, almost in the entire world. Mm. We've got an infrastructure of almost 60 by 65 kilometers of underground tunnels where we're mining coal. Because in Secunda, we use around 40 million tons of coal per annum. Mm. So 100,000 tons of coal every day goes through the Secunda facility and we turn it into all the valuable products. So during COVID, we had to, you can imagine, we do a shutdown. During the shutdown, this number goes just only on the site, not underground, 50,000 people that will go into Secunda for 3 to 4 weeks. I've been helping us to fix a portion of a facility. And we had to make sure that we vaccinate everyone. We don't become almost a super spreader event, as it was called. And we managed to do, the vaccinations and the shutdown successfully. And then we faced negative oil prices. We faced negative oil prices and we went through all of those challenges. But for me, what is key and what is important is that through it all, there was one thing that always stood out. It was just the determination of the people, just the indomitable spirit of saying whatever that we face, we can make it through. And that's what attracted me to SASA. So I'll quickly tell you about myself. You can see I've used AI for this to just depict a rural setting as much as one could. I grew up in Hammanskraal, north of Pretoria, Sirman, that's what the village is called. So it was a rural village. And throughout my schooling, for since 7 years to 19 when I finished, I've went to school from primary, middle school to high school. I've walked 10 kilometers to school, no running water, no electricity. But that adversity, it bears resilience in a person. To also, it teaches you to be optimistic in every situation. The negatives are always there. But as a person, you learn to be optimistic. And that optimism is not really born out of nothing. It is born out of, firstly, a great community where, you learn. If you fetch water from the well, even if you are the first, you can't use all the water. You have to think for others. We were in a community setting. You have to think for other people. When you're going to school and you have to walk, when you're 7, you practically can't look after yourself. Someone older looks after you. When you get older, you also look after the young ones. It's a collaboration. It's a community. That's how it's done. But also the generosity of outsiders. And it's something that I encourage most of you to do. Because for me, something that changed my life, it was my father's employer, Jan Hercules. My father worked, he finished his standard 2 and he worked as a driver. He managed to get himself a license. And most of the time, he was just a driver moving building materials around. And his employer, bought me textbooks actually from standard 4 until I finished matric. And you can actually see that step change. So for me, it's what you call the Pareto moment, a small action that, almost changes your life so hugely. So he was very generous. And that has also in me, I mean, planted the seed of generosity, empathy for others in terms of you should and you could make small differences in others. And yeah, that allowed me to finish school, go to university, and then join Sasol. I had a bursary much earlier, but I joined in 2002. And I was fortunate to be blessed. I mean, I'll call it blessed. I think we always have to thank God for opportunities that I got. I managed to work in Secunda, Sasolburg. Sasol sent me overseas. I've worked in most of our businesses. And all of that for me was good enough. My upbringing, all the experiences that I had in Sasol and out of Sasol, yeah, to prepare me for what was to come. I mean, if in 2004, I mean, mid-2004, I went into Sasol. And yeah, I mean, boy, oh boy, it was a challenge. I mean, when you arrived there, you could see everything was busy, I mean, almost going in an undesired fashion. But we were ready. I mean, we were ready. And the people of Sasol knew we were facing internal and external challenges. And we had this transition that we needed to turn around and transition that we needed to worry about. So we had a choice. We had to either see the negative of what was happening around us, or we had to see this as an opportunity for us to rewrite our story, to focus on what was important for our shareholders, and not only for our shareholders, for the communities around us, for our employees, and most importantly for our country. Because Sasol is a significant organization. We make a third. I mean, it's not a small number. The country uses around 27 billion liters of petrol and diesel. We make around 10 of that. So without Sasol, I can tell you now that when the Strait of Hormuz was shut down, all of us could have come to a standstill. But this company and its people allowed us to focus and make sure that we can play our national security duty. Even though we're a global company, we're also a significant energy player at home. So despite of what was going on, we had to focus. We had to take a hard look of what is that can be done. We had to find a path out. I mean, we're preparing for Capital Markets Day. Capital Markets Day happened around here. I mean, when I came to speak to you, the share price was around 50 to 60 bucks. That's when we came there. And yet we had to take the whole year making sure that before we stood up and spoke to the market, all of us will speak with one voice. We had to internalize the strategy inside first to make sure that in April 2025, when we said, here is our plan to make sure that we can, turn around our organization and make sure that it becomes sustainable, not only for today, but for the future, because it's a core and key organization. Then each and every Sasolite was behind that. And we did it. We had to. I mean, I remember we were busy planning. We took time planning, preparing the presentation. And a month before, I mean, it was the Liberation Day. I mean, that was such an internal test for the management team as well. They said, we still go out. We still go and talk about what we're going to do. And we had to, I mean, almost from a consensus point of view, I mean, debate it and say, yeah, we have to do it. We believe in what we're going to do. We believe that what we're going to put forward is robust. It's a resilient strategy that should be able to survive all these up and downs, because most of it was based on what we can do ourselves. And yeah, we went on with the journey. You can see since Capital Markets Day, we've been on this, I mean, on this journey of renewal and then transformation. I mean, every day we get a chance to share with the market, we share our progress. I mean, those of you that are following Sasol, you've seen we just released our business performance metrics. We'll have our results released in 2 weeks' time on the 1st of September, at least the financials. But the operational metrics is there. We've exceeded, I mean, almost all of the metrics that we set ourselves for this year, except working capital, of course. But the majority of the market guidance we've met or exceeded. So we're very pleased, I mean, myself personally, with the Sasol people, what those people can do, their determination and their courage in making sure that we can push through. I mean, touching a little bit on what we think, I mean, about the transition, especially the use of code. We also had to be pragmatic about it, to say, when you think about energy, you have to think about it as an energy mix. It's not just one form of energy, it's an energy mix. And we had to stand up and say, for the coal that we use, we will not grow in coal, but we will have to keep on using it. So we'll keep on using that coal, and that's where we stand. I mean, we had to make sure we give hopes to the thousands of our miners and the Sasol employees that that are creating this fantastic opportunity via coal. So we've kept that coal. However, we said we know that the pace of transition, I mean, goes fast and slow. We cannot bury our hands in the sand, our heads in the sand. So we have to transition, which means our transition has to be a carbon intensity reduction. We can add new sustainable products. So we just got certified to globally to produce, I mean, SAF in terms of sustainable aviation fuels and sustainable chemicals. We've got that international certification. So we're moving lockstep with the customers. And renewable energy, we upped, I mean, what we wanted to do in the renewable energy. We actually, I think, in terms of online electrons today, we have 500 megawatts. No one is even close to us because we are on the basis of Secunda using 1.5 gigawatts of coal-based energy. We can transition to renewable energy. It's good for us. It helps with the carbon emissions. It helps with cost. I mean, our cost bill is very high. I mean, if you look at what we pay today, around 8 to 12 billion rands, depending on usage. So now we that's a fantastic platform. And we even upped what could be done on renewable energy. And then we also said we'll access market offsets. So we have to be pragmatic, saying it's an energy mix. You have to use what you have. Then you have to, what we call a value accretive transition. As you transition, reducing your carbon intensity, you have to do it building a business on the back of what we had. So that's what we also brought in, that realism, so that our people are focused on what we need to do today and what we're going to do tomorrow. In Capital Markets Day, we also gave, I mean, some of the key, I mean, at least almost a scorecard, because if you don't publicly declare your goals, then you can walk away from them. So we put ourselves under pressure. Firstly, we released our strategy, which is anchored on two pillars. Firstly, is making sure that we've got a very, very strong foundation. I mean, as you go through our business performance metrics, you realize that Secunda now did the highest production in over 5 years. I mean, we've done that. I mean, proud of the team there, from the mining teams and the Secunda guys, what they've done. Our international chemical business as well, we will release the results, but we've also exceeded what was our latest market guidance there. Because we understood, as the people of Sasol, that a very, very strong foundation is key to building any future. Then on the growth and transformation, which is our pillar of making sure that we can become resilient, I mean, going forward, is that for us, it's about the value accretive transformation. And like I've said, we're already, I mean, one of the leading companies in renewable energy. We even further committed ourselves into the market that we wanted to have 1.2 gigawatts of power coming in renewable power. We said we'll increase that to 2 gigawatts. So we're busy with that work as well. I mean, the balance sheet was absolutely key. We will need, at that time, our balance sheet, the net debt to EBITDA, was the metrics was much higher than where we wanted it to be. And we set the target to say, firstly, we want to be below the $3 billion mark. I mean, by FY28, we are advancing towards that. I mean, every time we release our results, you can see we are advancing that, hopefully even slightly ahead of what we wanted to do. But we're busy advancing on that because we do need a strong balance sheet, not only to, I mean, fund and sustain our current operations, but for us, it's about a dividend restoration. And it's about further growth, making sure that on the back of what we have, we can grow the company, and in lockstep with the customers, we can also transition it. And we did set, I mean, also targets for what we wanted to see for, I mean, our asset, our international asset, fantastic asset, where we set the EBITDA margins that we wanted to see there, and the cost savings. I mean, when Sasol spends lots of money, when we stood up in the investment conference and we said we're going to spend 60 billion in the next 3 years, I mean, people found it, I mean, it was a massive number, but we do that. I mean, in South Africa alone, we spend almost 20 billion rands annually on making sure that we sustain our massive asset footprint. So we continue to do that. So we have to use advances in technology, what we see in the latest development, to make sure that we're efficient in how we use that money. So I think, ladies and gentlemen, for us, we know that the path ahead might be uncertain or uneven, but we are determined. I mean, the people of Sasol are determined to make sure we create value, I mean, for not only for our shareholders. I mean, it's our bosses, but we create value for our shareholders. But our purpose for being here is to make sure that we leave a lasting legacy. It's something that I've grown up with. It's something that all of us want to do. We want to make a difference to the country that we live in. We believe in it. I mean, wherever we are as well, we want to take the South African spirit to make sure we can also export it globally. That we have to see the positive, no matter how dire the situation might seem. We are firmly convinced that there's nothing that can hold us back. I mean, anything worth having must be built by men and women that have a shared vision for the future, what they think the future can look like, and they must build it. Nothing comes down from heaven. We have to do the work ourselves. So we are committed, and the bold ambition, transformation journey and ambition that we are on, at least myself as the CEO, I always stand confident knowing that that can happen because of the Sasol people, because it is them that is going to make this a reality. We are like 27,000 strong, and yeah, with 27,000 people that are all determined to do something, that there is nothing impossible for us to do. So with that, I say thank you.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. The wealthy aren't leaving South Africa, but their trusts are moving offshore. Invest better with Brenthurst. Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox, sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.